Hey, what's going on, people? This is your man, Big B. This episode of The Un is brought to you by the good people at Tweaked Audio. Look, just like you guys make your fake New Year's resolutions to lose weight and you don't do it, you guys walking around with busted ass drugstore headphones that make everything sound all trebled out and you don't know what the hell is going on with your music. Make a resolution to invest in something good. Make a resolution to support people that support you. Go to tweakedaudio.com. Pick yourself out a banging pair of headphones that gets the job done, gives you some bass. If you put in the code IDS, you'll get 33% off, free shipping, and a lifetime warranty. What the hell else can you ask? Remember your last marriage that didn't work? I bet you wanted a lifetime warranty on that shit. But you didn't get it. Get it on these headphones. Do it now.
It's the baby. It's the baby. It's the baby. Check it out. Let's go.
You're in tune to the new routine. New podcast putting artists on the scene. Unsigned hype sounding oh so nice. Is the boy redhead? Keep the dubs all right. About to make your neck hurt. Drew Baby and Big B bring the pressure. Courtesy of IDS Network. All y'all know when the clock just froze and you want something dope. It's the start of the show. Let's go. It's the baby. It's the baby. It's the baby.
It's the un baby. It's me, Drew Baby, your man Big B in the studio. Hey. All right. Welcome.
You know what's funny, Drew?
What's up?
There were a couple people that were like feeling some kind of way, and they was just like, you know what? Let me just listen to something because I just want to get my head off what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard that fucking intro, and they was like, Now they trying to kick their little raggedy tennis shoes off, put some heels on, make it to the club, and shake their worries away.
That's right. You know what? That's what it makes you do. Aside from my voice.
Do you love the
Do you love the
I love the
What's wrong with you? Awful!
You know we have to go to church on
Sunday. We not even taking it there, you know.
It cannot be taken any further than it was taken.
Oh, my goodness. Trap gospel. Anyway, hey, I miss y'all. How y'all doing? It's me, Drew Baby. And you know I do not do this alone. I am with your man, Big B. Goodness. How you doing, Big B?
I'm well. You know, I miss them people too. Yeah. It almost feels like a long distance relationship.
I mean,
I only get to fondle their eardrums once a month.
I mean, but you kind of like
jacking on their ear.
Hello?
What?
Digression isn't in order. Thumb the mic, please. So like I said, welcome to The Un. We have a delightful, eargasm worthy artists and music, I guess.
Fellas, let me just, seriously. I got to look out for the fellas.
Okay, look out for them.
If you're going through something with your queen right now, mm-hmm. if you're going through something with your side piece mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. if you're going through something with your girlfriend, whoever that or those significant others are, fix that shit before you let them hear this show. Because we got an artist that's going to fuck y'all shit up.
Mm.
For real.
Mm.
I mean, we got an artist that's going to motivate them to make you get your shit together or they going to leave you.
Mm.
Mm. I'm just saying.
He just saying, y'all. You heard it from him.
Let me tell you how bad shit is for real. I called my ex. I mean, she can't leave me no more, but I'm just saying.
She can't leave you no more. How many times she leave?
That one time.
Oh, okay.
How many times she trying to come back? Is that what you asked? That's a multiple.
Mm.
But that's digression, as you say.
From the mic. We're going to have an acronym for that. TTM.
TDM.
Oh, duh. For duh.
I thought that's how you were going with it.
I would say thumb the mic.
Oh, you want to go TTM?
TTM or TDM. Thumb the mic.
Tell me.
Like, love.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so B.
What a B.
I have some music that I've been listening to. Of course, a lot of my music, as you would know, it's not necessarily current. What's in my rotation is not necessarily current, you know. I get into my throwback modes a lot. But I have been severely throwing it back to even when, before I was even born, or maybe when I was like, you know, just walking. One of the things that are in my rotation has been anything Fela Kuti. Anything Fela Kuti I've been listening to. I've been biographies, listening to interviews with one of his 27 wives. Like, I mean, it's just, I've just been in that mode with him. It's something about past artists that had such an impact that intrigues me. And it makes me feel like, damn, I wish I was like this age back then. Like with Bob Marley and Marvin Gaye and all those type of artists and stuff that they really hold a piece of my heart for some reason. So I've been on that and I've been listening to,
you know
what?
I'm gonna come back.
Okay. And I've been on my Kendrick Lamar. Oh goodness, Kendrick Lamar. Like I think you gotta be, who don't know about To Pimp a Butterfly right now? Like, that album is severely everything to me. Like, the lyrical content, you got people who are so used to hearing the trap, ratchet, lame, basic, everyday vocabulary type lyrics. But Kendrick kind of like, he has like, I call it like a little Napoleon complex. Like, he's a little guy that has, he got a lot of fight in him, like a David and Goliath type deal with him. But I've been on my Kendrick shit.
Can I ask you something about Kendrick?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he's going to travel the path of Three Stacks in the sense, remember how Andre 3000 came out and he was sort of chill, humble, just doing his thing. And as each album came out, he came a little bit more expressive in his dress and mannerisms and stuff like that. Do you think he's going to go that same route? Because he's doing the hair thing. He's definitely got the green light to be as expressive as he wanted to on this album. Mm-hmm. Do you think his path is going to follow that same? Maybe not to the degree of Genie Pants and Shoulder Pads, but or maybe, who knows?
Right now, I don't think so because he's always been expressive. I mean, Kendrick, I don't think if you listen to his past album, his past work or what have you, he was still like that little angry little guy or whatever, but it just shows, with him being in the industry full time, it's almost like he clairvoyance set in. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what he's seen before, but he's really seen it now with his time being in the industry and things around him. You can tell that he's matured. I don't think necessarily that he's going to go the route of Andre 3000, which is nothing wrong with the route of Andre 3000 because that's him. That's what makes him That's what makes him Andre 3000. And not only that, he's still a lyrical genius to me. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of them out there. But Kendrick, I just think he had an eye-opening experience. You know, and his hair and everything right now, he got the grunge look. It's like, when you on that grind, you're not going to the barber shop. You ain't getting the shape up. You ain't, shit, he probably ain't even fucking bathing. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, because he in there spitting that hot fire. He making that music. The shit that we need.
Smelling you was complicated. Smelling you was complicated.
Right?
Smelling you was complicated. If that man ain't bathing.
But oh my gosh, how man, his album, it's very rare, like here lately, that I'm able to press play on a album. And yes, I do still buy CDs. Press play on an album and just let it rock. Just let it rock and just be mad when it's almost done, and when it's done it's like, damn, it's over. You know, very rare that I get to do that. So I appreciate Kendrick for that. That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm irritated with the radio. I'm still irritated with the radio. I still listen to it. I listen to, you know, your older R&B or what have you, but other than that, I just, you know, whatever is new that I find interesting. Oh, wait, no, I've been on Sidewalk Chalk. That is another group. It's like about 8 members in that joint, like one female, and it's like, it's a real rainbow of ethnic backgrounds in that group, and they are like that. And I will be seeing them in Durham April 24th through the 26th at the Art of Cool Festival. So that's another group to check out, Sidewalk Chalk. And that's what I've been on. Pretty much those three. Those are the three main people I've been listening to. So, B, what you been listening to? What's in your rotation?
In my rotation, I am listening to Rashawn Patterson. I am definitely to Kendrick as well. I have been stuck on De La Soul on a best of CD.
Okay.
Just on rewind, be honest with you.
Okay.
And there's one more. Oh, guess who else stuck back in? Emile LaRue.
Oh, yeah?
And you know what brought Emile back? Kendrick.
Okay.
Some of his poetry just kind of made me just kind of want to...
Isn't that amazing
hear
what music does?
Yeah.
It's so amazing. I don't understand how people can't ever feel like music isn't therapeutic. You know, music is a source of therapy for me. You know, definitely throughout my trials and tribulations, I can just think of something, or something can trigger a song, and then that'll make me put on another song, and then put on another one, and then it might have me sit down and write some feelings that I have out, just not even in a rapper or poetic type way. I can just get shit out listening to music. So I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. The only other thing that I've been listening to, and it's not in my rotation, but I've been just on my phone, just pulling every Stevie song that okay. I can, and that's because I had opportunity to see him mm-hmm. last week, and
how
that
tight
was
is that?
That's bucket list material right there.
Yeah, that's what's
you
up.
Know, so that was an honor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we definitely have some albums coming out, or that have come out for the month of April, and I'm gonna run down the list real quick. Currency, Pilot Talk 3. MGK, Coast to Coast 208, Chief Keef, Feed the Streets, Red Pill, Look What This World Did to Us, Cassius, County Hood 3, LaChat, Murder She Spoke To, wow, LaChat, I ain't heard her in a minute, Tyler the Creator, Cherry Bomb, did you get that yet? You caught that yet?
I didn't.
Okay, you didn't? All right, so we can review or do our thing the following. Project Pack, Mr. Don't Play 2, Everything's Money, Bodega Bam, Sidewalk Executive. DJ Drama, Quality Street Music. 2, Black Rob, Genuine Article. Lorraine and Jeremiah J, The Night Took Us in Like Family. Alchemist and Oh No, Alchemist and Oh No present Welcome to Los Santos. Shamanic, The Artist. Black Rob once again, Genuine Article. Yellow Wolf, Love Story. Clear Soul Forces, Fab 5. Insane Clown Posse, Wow. Wow. The Marvelous Missing Link, Lost. Insane Clown Posse, again, Clear Source Forces, Fab 5, and it repeats itself. Raekwon, F.I.L.A. Fila. I guess that is an acronym for something, but I don't know until we listen to the album. So that are the albums that are coming out or has come out for the month of April. We're going to take a short break to fill up our glasses or empty them, however we're feeling, because we love our drinks. Do you love your drink? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with
actually
you?
Actually, not right now.
So we'll be back in a hot second with our un-artist. We're going to make this great because he got to go. He got to do some things. You know, he's real important out here in these streets. So we'll be back. Wonderful time here on this dreary but yet bright inside the studio Tuesday. We have a special guest via Skype, the multifaceted composer, pianist, drummer, vocalist, hailing from Northwest Washington, D.C. I introduced to some and I just introduced to everybody, Mr. Samuel Prather. How you doing? How you be?
I'm good. I'm still grooving on the intro music.
See, I'm telling you, the un got you. It'll have you bopping. It will have you bopping. So before I start drilling you, putting you under that hot lamp, before I do that, I want you to tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
I'm a DC native, born and raised, and I, you know, just dabbled when I was coming up on piano and drums, and kept dabbling, and it's taken me all over the world. but yeah, I'm just trying to get some attention to this new group that I just did with this my last record with Groove Orchestra. And we're just trying to spread the message, funk and jazz, and you know, if it's something that people dance to somewhere in the world, then I'm interested in it.
I could dig it. Where do you get your love for music, specifically jazz? Where did that come from?
I think that's really like a combination of just being exposed to it. The Monk Institute, when we were in high school, took us to go see Branford Marsalis at Blues Alley, and I was kind of bit then, you know, so I saw that band, Jeff Tane Watts, James Genus, Joey Calderazzo, and Branford, of course, and you know, I saw that band and I was like, man, I want to be able to play like that. So but yeah, also my father is a big music listener, and you know, my mom played, you know, viola
Me too. The DC Youth Orchestra.
Yeah, dude, I was in DC Youth Orchestra.
Yep.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of music.
That's what's up.
I ain't play no instruments.
You can beat on your knees and make noise with your mouth, right? That's pause. Music.
Pause.
I said beat on your knees.
Really? Really? Okay.
Don't.
I see where this interview is going to go. All right. Cool.
But you know what, Sam? I just want to know, before I started, I should have asked you. We have this thing that we do. We tell our listeners what's in our rotation. And I want to know what's in yours. What are you listening to right now? What is your inspiration? Do you have any?
Oh, man. Oh, it's so many different things. I mean, I like to do, I don't know, I like to do a mix. So right now we're listening to, you know, Kendrick's new record, yes. D'Angelo's still getting some spins. I'm also loving some of the local jazz artists'
okay.
Record. Oh, goodness gracious. Mark, now I get the camera in my face and I'm clamming. Mark Meadows' okay. Record is killing. There's also really on the flip side, this groove band. What is it? The Groove Collective and the Green. Like, it's a really wide variety, like dance music and then also like hip hop and then jazz. And, you know, it's a really a big combination.
Nice. Two-part question.
Uh-huh.
To date, who is the maybe biggest or most notable, or at least to you, one of the biggest artists that you've had the privilege of playing with, and who out there would you still love to play with?
It depends on how you count it. In high school, I think I got to play with the biggest artist, you know, technically speaking, but it wasn't really like, you know, I wasn't on the bill per se. You know, we were just in the school choir backing it, but we did a show with Shania Twain.
Okay.
yeah.
And
you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, that was bananas. You know, we put that was like I think 20,000 people at Meriwether.
Did you get nervous?
That was but I just saw Stevie Wonder last Thursday night.
Oh so man, I was there.
I for real?
Yeah, 4-4.
Well, you know, I wouldn't mind doing that gig either.
Yeah, he had a full band up there.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that was I just wish that building just had better acoustics.
Well, you know what's funny is I had like from where I was sitting, like because we were in the upper deck, like in the back,
uh-huh.
And for some reason, I could hear everything. It was cool.
Right.
Like so, it might be like a conditional thing, like depending on where you're sitting. But you know, because I heard that from a couple folks, like, oh, I wish sound was better. I was like, man, I'm glad it was as good as it was where I was. You know, because you know, cats were saying that it wasn't great when in the DC show. That I was, but it was from where I was sitting, clear as a whistle.
Yeah, I mean it definitely was. It definitely was, you know, where I was, but I could also turn my body and sort of hear the music just bouncing all over the place.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I kept faced towards the stage, it was fine, but. Right. If I turned to the side, I was like, oh.
Well, God. Maybe that's probably why it was built like that, so you can stay focused.
Yeah, stay focused.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Or it's just cheaply built.
You're no,
just,
don't do that.
You just
don't
want
do that.
Bail Baltimore out like that? Really? Really?
But I mean, I can see if you said if you turn to the right and you can hear real good and then turn to the stage and it sounded like it was bouncing.
You would have blamed it on me for being old or something. I know what you're going through. I got you. Anytime we have a man on the show,
even,
you get the showing out.
Mr. Prather, please
you know
do
what
not.
I'm saying? Every time we have a woman, I behave myself.
Oh no, you don't. Oh, but we're not gonna bring him in the
now,
family business.
I would have loved if he was at the lyric.
I ain't getting in it.
Damn it. Anyway, moving right along.
Well, we're gonna get into the first song which is Wanna Be Where You Are. Give us a little backdrop on it and introduce it to my listeners.
All right, well, I Wanna Be Where You Are actually is a Leon Ware tune, and popularized, I think, most by Michael Jackson, but Marvin Gaye and Leon Ware both did, like, what I think are pretty great recordings of it. So when I first, you know, think about that song, I think about the Michael version, but Leon Ware also wrote the whole I Want You album for Marvin Gaye.
Nice.
So when you talk about, like, the definition of grown and sexy, you know, is that record. So I just wanted to take that source material back to kind of the type of stuff that Leon writes. I mean, it's so, you know, just wanted to take it back to grown, because I think that, you know, had it not been in Michael's hands, it still would, you know, like, Michael's voice is timeless.
Right.
And that version of the song is timeless.
Right.
But the place that song comes from, I think, might just be a little bit above the age range of what Michael he was when he dropped it.
Absolutely.
That's all. So, you know, I wanted to bring it back to, you know, little 30 and over club card.
To that sexy. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, I Wanna Be Where You Are.
Definitely brought it back.
Oh, yeah.
To its roots. I like that. Like I said, I heard it earlier today and was like, oh, damn. Yeah, I was about to close my office door and dim the lights and, like, feeling some kind of way in
here. You're just going to feel something,
right? Oh, stop it. Now, I see that you've worked with a lot of people. Who's next on your list that you can let us know?
Oh, man.
Like a definite, like, we about to go in the studio and, yeah.
You know, I know what's next immediately are my label mates on 2AM Music. So there's two young ladies, Nerea Monroe. We've been working on her project. That's more of an R&B centered thing, and Also, there's Demeter, who's also kind of a R&B hip hop kind of centered thing as well that we've been working on. Then I don't know. Like I'm working on you know, trying to get a Christmas record finished actually. So I haven't really decided all, you know, who might be on it, but it should hopefully be something to
me, 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 me. Damn it. Because that got shut down.
I know, right?
Sam, check this out. When I go to shows, one thing that I try to do when I purchase my tickets is I try to make sure I have a vantage point, regardless of who the singer may be. I try to get a good vantage point of the musicians because I've always had a fascination with how everything comes about. You hear, we always hear the finished product, but how does that happen? How do the musicians communicate with each other? What goes on? That's and a lot of times I'll care less about who the hell is in front of the mic. You know what I'm saying? I just really get down. And if not that, my second thing that I love to watch is I love to watch the sound guys communicate back and forth and make their adjustments and stuff like that. With that being said, I've had the privilege to see you play a few times, and you seem to go someplace else. Looking at you, it almost looks like you're just floating among the stars while you're playing, and you just, you know, like your mind is elsewhere. What's going on?
I mean, it, when you're with the right cats, there's so much information crossing the stage. It's kind of hard to quantify. So sometimes, especially if I'm backing a soloist or, you know, trying to follow a horn player that's really adventurous, it's almost like playing catch or something, you know. So, you know, you got really got to be kind of on my toes and keeping my ears open to make sure that as I'm accompanying them, I'm playing something that complements what they're doing, hopefully. And if I'm lucky, sometimes it'll complement where they're going, you know. Nice. So.
You know, that's a great segue into my next question. I know as a performer, do you still get nervous?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So since we know that you still get nervous, what is the venue that you performed at that was like the most, that had the most comfortable setting? Like the vibe was like eerily, you know, just eerily calm. You know how you could just step into something and then what you expected, to be nervous, you expected to have the jitters, but you just happen to be like, damn, I'm at ease. Like, has there ever been a venue, right, that you...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking about that. I mean, the most comfortable venue I can think of just right off the break, I really enjoy playing... like kind of the smaller clubs, okay, generally speaking, because that's what I'm used to the most. Mm-hmm. You know, but we did my album release at Bohemian Caverns.
Okay.
I just did Blues Alley with Afro Blue. Like something about, you know, venues that are big enough to hold the crowd, but small enough that you, like the people still can, like, you know, you're close to the people, like that's right. When I'm the most comfortable, like I'm a little bit more out of my sorts when, you know, I got big lights in my face and I can't even see, you know, the people that I'm playing for, like there's a kind of interruption in the connection. But yeah, I like the connection.
I can dig it. Have you ever performed at the Birchmere, speaking of like intimate crowds, or have you ever seen a performer at the Birchmere?
No, not yet.
You want to know what? Let me tell you something. That would be a stage, I think, that you would get that calm, that vibe, because it's a decent size space, but it's like it doesn't matter where you sit as a performer or a listener. It's like it's so intimate. It is so intimate. Like, it doesn't even matter who's up there. It's just like you can just reach out and touch them, like they're singing to you. So I think that might be a spot that, you know, that I'll see you in the near future performing at.
I received that. Yeah, I definitely, you know, any new venue that I can get to, I'll take. We're just trying to spread that message out. So, yeah, Birchmere, come on.
Yeah, how about it? Okay. We're going to get into this next song, which is Fella Snarky. And I want you to give us a backdrop of that.
Yeah, well, Fella Snarky is basically a tribute to Fela Kuti.
Yes, I love him.
And this band Snarky Puppy that I've been digging. And actually, to the point, they really changed the direction of my record. So,
okay.
Yeah, so this is a mix of, basically, I like to think about it as what of Snarky Puppy tribute to Fela might sound like.
Okay.
All right, so Fela Snarky.
Fela Snarky.
You mentioned Fela Kuti, and I've been like in, what do you call it? I've just been in like in that mode, like listening to a whole bunch of his old, his music and videos of his performances abroad or what have you. And this man, it was like really interesting. I kind of wanted to mention something on the show today about that, but I didn't get my information together to do so. Might be the next show, but yeah, he's a very interesting cat. And I do hear where added him in the mix.
Oh, he captured that.
Yeah, he captured it. Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah, I mean, Fela.
That was a wild man.
Oh, and that's funny, actually, but I forgot to mention, because we were talking about that Stevie Wonder concert. That's actually the harmonica player, Fred Garnet, that was on tour with Stevie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, on the record. So,
nice.
Yeah, he come on, he was a little extra, wasn't he?
Don't come for him.
You would have thought he was Stevie.
He was feeling it. He was feeling it. Speaking of feeling it, okay. What is your interpretation of soul music, and what do you think the music industry needs to recapture that soul quality is missing?
I think that soul music, I think all music that's based in instruments and telling stories and whatnot, I think it just needs the same type of promotional push that the other types of music get. So if you just think about the amount of money and resources and energy that goes behind putting out, Ariana Grande or like, J. Cole or something, like if R&B soul, like if soul artists, not R&B artists, but if soul artists had that kind of push behind them, I don't think that, I think people would like it. I think people just don't hear it because they hear what gets pushed.
Right.
Now, Sam, I've, not because you're here, if you've heard past shows, the one instrument all my life that I've always wanted to play was the piano or the keyboard. And in wanting to play that, I've always had this vision. Like, I like sort of standalone instruments, like the piano and the guitar. And I always kind of just envision, like, just one day meeting a little somebody special. And, you know, you bring them home, like, on a random whatever, and just, slide behind the keyboard and just start just warming them up. I mean, have you ever done that, bro? Have you ever just, and then, you always get that one question, like, oh, you play? I do a little something. And then you just blow their socks off.
Is that how you got your wife?
We did meet at a show. I mean, I think that the extent of my piano pulling capability was back in high school, sitting down, and I would just like act like I was practicing, but I would play like Brian McKnight, "Do I Ever Cross Your Mind?"
That's my dad.
That is what
I'm trying to tell you. Don't let me get nice with that guitar. You don't need to have no rap. That's your rap right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, being that his rap has since have a straight direction, it doesn't go left or right now. How do you? He does to her. That's what I'm saying. Right.
Like, so, you forget to take the trash out, he get on the keyboard and soothe the situation. Come on now.
He is dying over there. How do you balance music and family? Like, you're this budding artist, and you have loves. It's multiple loves, and they're kind of like on the same level, so to speak. With a small degree of separation.
I try to keep everything kind of integrated with each other. So, sometimes my wife will help me shoot some photos for the record or shoot a video and, take my whole family, kids to, church when I play at church or if I do an outdoor festival or, I just try to, because there's never really enough time to do any one thing that you have completely. Mm-hmm. So I just try to do my best to make sure that I'm nurturing both to the best of my ability.
Is your wife in the music business too?
Nope.
Can she sing?
She plays records.
Oh, okay. She's an avid listener.
Yeah. She knows a lot of records though. That's one of the reasons why we kind of clicked, is that she knows a lot of records.
That's what's up. I got a question. You heard of the Art of Cool Festival, correct?
Yeah. It sounds familiar. I'm just trying to place where that is.
It's in Durham, North Carolina. Okay. And it's going to be there if you have time. I know that you're a family man and you're busy working on your craft, but I suggest that you come down there. It's in Durham on the 24th through the 26th, and they got a great lineup of all types of cats. Like, I started getting into a group, Sidewalk Chalk, that I just happened to hear about on Facebook, and like, I'm just like in love with them, and they're one of the artists that's going to be there. But it's like Anthony Hamilton, Jesse Boykins, Roy Ayers, the headliner. Anthony Hamilton, he's going to be doing his Coming From Where I'm From album in its entirety. So it's a lot of Avery Sunshine is going to be a headline on Sunday, but you should come and check it out. Like, it's an outdoor event, because you said outdoor and it made me think of that. But you should check it out if you have time or whatever. I just wanted to pass that on to you.
And
just, seemed like it's your space.
Right. Just for the record, I didn't even get invited to that shit, Sam. So I mean, I just want to let you know what you doing over here.
I've mentioned this last month. Goodness. And said that I was going to be there. We're not going to do this. Not in front of company.
Where does your paycheck come from?
Okay. Not in front of company. We will not. Okay. So we're going to get into this last song before we bid adieu to Mr. Prather, because he is a very busy man. Before we do that, I want you to let our listeners know where they can contact you, troll you, support you, listen to you, etc.
I try to keep it simple, so it's just my name, SamuelPrather.com. Mm-hmm. And that got scheduled. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and you know, other social media, but SamuelPrather.com, and you can get to all the stuff that I'm doing from there.
And what about any upcoming events that you can just voice right now, just in case people don't have time to click on?
We're doing something with the DC Jazz Festival.
Okay.
And so I don't have the venue, so but just keep your eyes peeled for the Groove Orchestra and the DC Jazz Festival. Hopefully, we'll have all the information. But it's an event with Capital Bop, so that should be.
What month? I'm sorry.
Oh, don't give me the line.
Is it summertime?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I think it's like June or something, or April. Like, April or June, May, June. It's coming up in the next two months or so.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. Just so I can, you know, clear my schedule. Okay, so, all right, introduce a blues for Clyde for us.
This one's really simple. It's just, I love James Brown. My mother used to play that in the morning almost every day to wake me up instead of an alarm clock. And so one of his most prolific drummers was Clyde Stubblefield. So this is a straight up tribute to Clyde Stubblefield. So, blues for Clyde.
All right. Here y'all.
my listeners, you got to support the album.
If you want to hear
it, I'm giving you all this love for free.
No doubt.
I got to go get that.
Yeah, that's
wow.
That's hot.
Damn.
That is hot.
Sam, we know you got to run, man. We're going to let you go. But before you go, we got to let you know what one of the most unique things about interviewing with us is.
All right.
We're with you. So anything you have coming out, anything you have coming up, if you need to clear the air about some scandalous shit that was thrown upon you and you need to shake it off, we're here. You just hit us up. Say you need a few minutes of our time, and we're here for you. So the interview is never over, my brother. Just whatever you got going on, let us know, and we will make sure to blast it for you.
It's now your home. You've been adopted.
Oh, man. Appreciate it.
No doubt. So we got to get out of here.
We got to go.
Got to let Sam run.
He has
autographs to sign and babies to kiss and
yes.
all that. And you never know. He might be Hillary's running mate. So watch yourself.
Sam Fraser for vice president.
How about that shit? So, no, it was an absolute pleasure, my brother. I almost had your last name stuck in there.
Absolute Prather.
Right.
Be here, right?
No doubt. So, thank you again for sharing your time with us.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having. Yeah,
no doubt.
Sam Prather, everybody.
So, that was amazing.
Yeah,
that was an amazing experience. And we told you guys that was going to be something that you needed to put the baby to sleep and sit still for.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to be right back with the UN.
Yet another refreshing artist and his music and his movement. And I would like for you guys to support that brother. He's in the Washington, D.C. area. He's doing big things. And
that album is on iTunes. Cop that.
iTunes, cop it. You can follow him, samprather.com. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. He is on Instagram, like he said.
Website.
I did that, samprather.com. I said that first. Anything that you want to find out about this brother, you can. And let him know that Drew Baby and Big B sent you.
What about that?
Yeah, like that first song, I heard that earlier today and was like, yeah, I happened to see the video. It was wild, the cat that has sung the first part of it. I was like, damn, if I had my eyes closed, I think it's Bilal. Like, his voice is reminiscent of Bilal. So, anyway, that is the Groove Orchestra, Sam Prather. So, we have some disheartening news to some, and I wanted to bring it to you. Legendary R&B singer Mr. Percy Sledge died today at the age of 73. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, his home. He is best known for his number one 1966 hit, When a Man Loves a Woman. I'm quite sure everybody knows that song. And his music career spans for over 50 years. He released, his most recent release was in 2013, a couple years back, The Gospel of Percy Sledge. Some of his other top singles include Warm and Tender Love, It Tears Me Up, Out of Left Field, and Take Time to Know Her. In 2005, he was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he goes on to say, I hummed it all my life, even when I was picking and chopping cotton in the field, Sledge said of his classic hit, When a Man Loves a Woman. The song was originally written after a girlfriend left Sledge for another man. So that's a little backdrop. Rest in peace, Mrs. Sledge. You left a mark on music and people. Folk.
True, baby.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm the only one that has this thought. As we progress through the years, is there an icon, musical, theater, or otherwise, that you don't know if you can handle hearing them, hearing the fact that they passed?
Hmm.
I mean, I have two that's always just been the top of my, like, really the top of my list. And I really feel sad for one of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You say what you want, mm-hmm, about the man or whatever. I still live in America, and he hasn't been convicted. You know what I'm saying? So I've been in a lot of high schools and junior highs where there's been 50, 60, 70 people saying that you're ugly and you're fat and all that, but it never made you that.
Right.
So, I don't give a fuck. Send your hate mail to Drew. She can handle it.
Yeah.
But
I get it.
The other person is Stevie Wonder. I just don't know if I can handle waking up hearing that he's passed. You know, I think I'm going to know shit. I'm old. If nothing else, if you know, beyond the music, beyond the entertainment, I'm just going to be like, ah, shit.
For me, one of them, if I have to name two, one of them already passed, and that was Michael Jackson. It was kind of surreal when he passed away. It's weird because it you know, as moments and months and years go by, since his death, you realize that this man was, if everybody knew who Michael Jackson was, like the imprint that he left in music and in people, not even including his court issues, you know, his allegations and things like that. It's just period. Like, this Bama, he was bad. He was a bad dude from a little kid on to his death. He was like that.
But you know, for me, when it comes to Mike, as saddened as I was, I wasn't surprised. Because it was just too much weirdness, too many oddities, too much was surrounding. And I could just see Mike in one of his odd stages or one of his odd lifestyles or whatever, just it being what it was.
So how would it be any different for someone that's in their 80s and another one that's 60s, 70s, or what have you, these older gentlemen that could possibly come across, you know, any type of ailment or what have you? How would that be so surprising versus somebody as young as Michael?
It wouldn't be. That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be surprising. It would just mark the end of a time. And it would make me realize, because when I listened to Stevie and when I heard Stevie, I was a little kid. So he was a larger than life figure. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm in my 40s now. Mm-hmm. And I know I don't know how much longer we have with him, but I know it's going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. But I know when it happens, it's going to hit me like, shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm old and we've reached the end of a milestone in a sense, as opposed to a lifestyle of turmoil or a lifestyle of just weird, quirky shit just always happening. You can kind of, like, for instance, another one that was super sad was Tupac, but you can't tell me you were surprised. You know what I'm saying? The lifestyle was just like, damn, how many more bullets can this dude take? You know? So it was just like, it was almost, for like Mike and Tupac, it was almost like, shit, I saw it coming, but what could you do? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sad that it happened, You know, it doesn't take anything away from the hurt. It doesn't take anything away from the sadness. Mm-hmm. But in the, but if you really want to be honest with your heart, you have to be like, shit, I kind of... It was so almost sort of inevitable in a sense. You know? So
If I had my second person, if I had to be... I think it would be more of a surprise because of the vibrancy of this individual, and that'd be Patti LaBelle. Like if something was to happen to Patti LaBelle, I think I'd be hurt because she exudes energy mm-hmm. at her age. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you can't imagine Patti not being here. for me, you can't right. imagine her not being
and,
here.
And keep in mind, I'm not talking about anything other than a natural death.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about living out their years mm-hmm. and their time just came. Mm-hmm. As opposed, I don't know, freakish mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. accident type thing. That's just fucking a kick in your crotch. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about, you know, like another one for me, Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. You know yeah, it's coming. Yeah. You prepare yourself. You see the Parkinson's just yeah. taking him over. But you can't really prepare for it, but you know it's coming and it's going to hurt like shit yeah. when it gets here.
Yeah, not to be bringing my man in, but KGB, he really holds Muhammad Ali there. Like, he cried when he met him, and that nigga don't cry for shit. Right. But yeah, that'd be a person I can see how that can affect.
No doubt.
So, okay, well, enough of the sad shit.
How about that?
I was just surfing through the internet today, and I was talking to someone, and I said something that they weren't quite used to hearing, which sometimes, because I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, I try to use replacement words in my vocabulary just to... set an example, one for my child, so she can say things other than the basic shit, and two, just improve in my vocabulary all around. But I'm not saying that these words I'll be using a lot. It's just I thought it was kind of cool what I came up with. And B, this is what I want you to do.
What you want me to do?
When I tell you the word, the definition, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the word. I want you to guess if you don't know what it is. And then once you find out what it is, I want you to use it in a sentence. I want you to use it in a sentence. I ain't going to even make it even harder than that.
Do I get credit for sentence. This? I mean, because I want to finish this degree. Do I get credit?
You might. I don't know.
What the fuck?
Okay. Abhor.
Abhor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the first thing you want me to do with it? Use it in
guess what it is.
Oh, abhor.
If you don't know. What is the replacement word? What does it replace? I'm sorry.
Despise?
You close. Hate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, now put it in a sentence.
Oh, God. You put me on the spot. Because you always come up with the corny sentence to just... throw the word in where you normally probably wouldn't use it.
Right, but you're normally quick with it. So quick with it, not with it. Not like love. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, I'm trying to make up a corny sentence. Incorrect. About,
oh, so you're going to do it like that? That's what you're going to do? Yeah. You can use it as far as this is a musical show, so you could use it pertaining to rappers, singers, actors, actresses. You abhor commercial lyrics.
Ratchet gospel.
Oh, trap gospel. A good one. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I was going to say something like, Nicki Minaj is not your normal freak. She's an abhor.
Okay. This is a good, another good word. Apropos.
Apropos. Mm-hmm. Apropos is one of those words you kind of, well, we got some artsy farts motherfuckers that listen to us, so, you mm-hmm. know, they got degrees and shit. Mm-hmm. They collect the motherfuckers like I collect tennis shoes.
Mm. Yeah. I'm gonna take a picture of that shit one day.
No, you're not.
Why not?
Ooh, did I just tell you I got...
No, we're going to stay...
Discount.
Apropos means on topic, okay?
Right.
We're going to stay on topic. Right. That's not a sentence you was about to use. You about to tell me there about some shit. You was about to tell me about some
perfect
shit.
Perfect usage.
Exactly. Okay, next word. Incendiary. That's a word that describes
incendiary.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Incendiary. Sort of. What's the inflammatory?
No. You kind of close. It's what people, my label, people label me as well. What are the, one of the words that people.
Don't make me do this.
No, please do it.
Don't let me do this.
No, I'm
this gonna, might be the last show.
If no, it will not question. Be the no. Just be. what is one of the things that people
loud?
No, next. Abhor.
I'm kidding. I told you I just like it. You.
Aggressive. Okay. That's one of my labels, and that's fucked up. We gonna talk I after the show because I wanted to know what's the word that you couldn't say on the air that'll have us break up.
I said,
and this be the last episode. A whore? Really? Oh shit!
I'm kidding.
No, that's okay. All right, so yeah, I want everybody.
It was fun with y'all.
It was fun with y'all.
Y'all might see me back on the
exactly
on IDS.
Okay, now you're supposed to be using it. In a sentence, but let me let you know what the real word use is because Brian's brain is not what
was
working.
Okay,
right
it
now.
Was incendiary, right?
Yeah, incendiary.
I didn't appreciate those incendiary comments you made towards me.
The real word use is your incendiary comments towards me.
Wow.
On Facebook will not go unnoticed. Prepare for comment war. Wow. That's the example sentence. That's funny. I like that. Mm-hmm. Wow, go ahead, B. You're not as dumb as you look. So,
sometimes.
Myriad.
Myriad. Multiple.
You are kind of smart. You are smarter than a third grader. Okay, so.
One of the people that send in feedback has a myriad of socks that he likes to show off. From
yes!
Time to time.
Hence the word acronym. TTG. no, BTG. Yes, okay. Myriad, okay. The real world use is... With myriad social sites available, it can be difficult to choose the right places to participate. If the definition is too numerous to count, so many that they cannot be counted, however. Vexed, we've already heard before. Phenomenal, that's one another word that should be added. We have what people would say, fox pos. What am I saying in real? What do I mean to say? Fox pos.
Wait a minute. You saying
if people that don't really know, they'll look at it and think it says fox pos.
Well, you know I'm not.
And the definition, I'm gonna say it right in a minute. The definition of it is it's in place of mistake. Mm-hmm. Social blunder, an embarrassing mistake that breaks a social convention. That's the meaning of it. You're going to use it in a sentence. A social media blank blank can be detrimental to your brand. It's always a good idea to double check before you send something. Can't think of it? Mm-mm. Faux pas.
Oh.
Tact. Tact. Mm-hmm. That should go without saying. A lot of people lack tact.
I was about to say this studio runs low on it.
Stop it. Tact is the replacement word of skill. Okay. Ability to avoid giving offense, skill in situations in which the other people's feelings have to be considered. It takes tact to navigate the social space and its potential pitfalls, using a sentence. So tact. Those are some of the words that need to be replaced in some rap and a lot of people's vocabulary, I being one of them. I'm not going to use all of them. I've used a couple of them that I have not mentioned because people already know it. However, those were the ones that kind of stood out. But yeah, I think we have to go now. It's been a great ride. I want to thank Mr. Samuel Prather for coming in and sitting with us in between his busy schedule. I also want to thank our listeners for the continued support. Tweaked Audio for our sponsorship. And I would like to thank the super producer for putting up with the shenanigans, the gremlins, even the
the ones that are happening right now as I try to close the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we want you to check out the Un Artist. I want you to check out all the Un Artists. It will be posted on the Un Show page, which is on Facebook. Also, you can follow either one of us on Twitter. That is NDB. At NDB. And I am at, what am I on Twitter? What is my name? Into Deep Baby, I think. I don't be on Twitter. I see y'all, but I don't tweet. But know that you being seen. And if you being seen, most likely you are being retweeted. So, yeah. Shout out to the Indie Show. Recap to recap. Now in our glass, in my glass, the Un. And the whole entire IDS network. Much
hey,
love.
Yes. I think I can kind of leak a little information.
Uh-oh.
There shit, is my yet first time a... I'm officially sick.
You're sick?
What did you just say?
I said, it's my first time hearing it too.
Oh.
What the fuck you thought I said? What?
When I said I was going to leak some information, I thought you said my breasts are leaking too. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
That's nasty.
There may be a new
show
added to the lineup.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
I don't know.
Am I being fun? No? Y'all thought they hear me? Two shows, that's enough. I got it.
Just saying. I'm just saying. It might be a new show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. I thought you was responding to what I'm saying. You know I'm sensitive. I'm the baby of the bunch. I told you that.
Unmentionables.
Thank you.
Had fun with you, done with you.
Yes. Tweaked Audio. Use IDS code 30% off. Free shipping, lifetime warranty. Don't forget, tell them IDS sent you.